Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. God, take these words, quicken them, make them alive to the hearers. Let it transform us, God, in the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to have fellowship with you through him by the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by your Spirit, God. The Holy Ghost has to forge a vessel that he can live in and live through. Everything we go through is designed to chip away, to forge, to change, to transform us into a vessel fit for the Holy Ghost to express himself through. The Holy Ghost lives through that which is holy. The Holy Ghost lives through that which is clean. The Holy Ghost lives through that which is free from sin. Forge us into vessels that are sanctified, separate from sinners, and fit to be used by the Holy Ghost of God. God, we know your effort is put forth, God, to deliver us from all evil, to transition our minds away from thinking like the world and the flesh controlled by the devil, that you can live through us. God, make us over in your image, and we'll give you the praise and glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, the next voice you'll hear will be the voice of Bert Clendenin speaking on the Antichrist.
This first epistle of John, chapter 2, and verse 18, my message, many antichrists, many antichrists. Little children, it is the last time, and as we have heard, that antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. There are many antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. Now the spirit of antichrist is a spirit of deception. And not anybody in this audience wouldn't agree with that. It is a spirit of deception. Wherever you find in religious circles a deceptive spirit, you have found the antichrist. Now the Bible said God hates every false way. And it always shows up in a distortion of the things of God, a spirit of deception. Now, that antichrist spirit can only gain ground as it deceives people. There's no other inroads, no other way, only through the spirit of deception. And once it is uncovered for what it is, in any group of people, its power has been broken, except on those that are very naive. Once it has been exposed, you have broken the power, because it has to operate in the darkness. Paul speaks of it like this: the mystery of iniquity, he said, was working already. Now the word mystery means something that is covered, something that works in the dark. And Paul said that spirit was working in his time, that spirit of deception. And you must know that he's talking about the church, that spirit of deception had found its way into that church birth at Pentecost. Jude, 30 years after Pentecost, is praying for the faith once delivered to the saints. Something has happened. That spirit of Antichrist has invaded the ranks of that church birth on the day of Pentecost. Now, this mystery of iniquity is that which masquerades under religion. That's why that it's called a mystery, a deceptive thing. Now, when looking, when you and I here this morning, especially you in this audience and those in television audience that know God in his fullness and his blessing, when looking at the religions of the world, we take a look at most of them, as far as we're concerned, are anti-Christian. Most of the religions of the world, I'm talking about religions, many of them don't even profess the thought of Christian, but they profess the thought of knowing God. And when we look at them, we look at them as being anti-Christian, yet you and I must admit that in these religions, the people there are as sincere as you and I are. Those people caught up in this anti-Christian religious system. are as sincere as we are. It's sad to have to say this, but many of the adherents of these anti-Christian religions are more deeply settled in their doctrines than most of us are. Is that right? It's sad to have to say that, but it's the truth unto God. It's a hard thing to jolt a Jehovah Witness out of that thing that he's got himself caught in. He's caught up into those doctrines. It isn't just a mere Sunday adherence. It isn't just something that he wonders about. He has looked it over, and from his standpoint, he's come to believe it. Now, why is this so among them? I'll tell you why. It's because the spirit of Antichrist has captured them completely. They've been caught in this deceptive spirit, and it has caught them completely. They're absolutely caught in it. The Antichrist that they worship exactly answers to their ideas of Christ and God. Now, I want you to hold on to that. It's important that you hear. We move toward the end of this age, and Jesus said, if it were possible, the very elect of God could be deceived. It is imperative that I know and you know what's taking place in our time. Now, listen to it again. The Antichrist that these people worship totally, absolutely, is exactly answers to their ideas of the true Christ. Their prophets and their teachers must correspond to their ideas of religion. They would not tolerate them a moment without that. Isn't that right? They would not tolerate them a moment. There are many antichrists among them, but only those antichrists that conform to their idea of religion has any influence over them at all. Now, when you move from just the religions of the world to the Christian religion, there are two main branches of it that is espoused by the world. There is the Catholic and the Protestant. These are the two main branches of so-called Christian religion. Whether it's Christian or not doesn't matter. That's where it's caught up and called in the terminology of the world. Now, we would look at the Catholic religion and immediately say that know the Bible, read the Bible, that a great part of it isn't Bible-based. There's no place in here in this book that Mary is co-redemptive with Christ. The transubstantiation is not a part of this Bible. The baptism of babies and them being born again is not a part of it. I'm not saying this as to be anti-anything. I'm just saying that if we look at it from the Bible, then we would have to put them at once, a great part of what they believe, as not a biblical religion. But for an antichrist to appeal to the Catholic, he must be a Catholic. Are you hearing me? I said, for an antichrist to appeal to a Catholic, he must be a Catholic. Take the branches of the Protestant church, and we term many of them anti-Christian. They deny the virgin birth. They totally deny the blood. They deny the coming of the Lord. They deny the Pentecostal blessing. There is a denial in them of the fundamental basics. I'm talking about many of them, not all of them. We'd look at those and we'd say that that's not Christian. Yet for an antichrist to exercise much influence over a Protestant, he must at least be a Protestant. And most of the time, he'd have to be a part of his own organization. He'd have to be a part of his own organization. In other words, no antichrist can persuade or lead us unless that antichrist is of the same belief that you are. Unless he professes what you profess. I can tell you, there's no Pentecostal antichrist can disturb a Baptist church. And no Baptist antichrist can disturb a Pentecostal church. For an antichrist to come in this church and disturb this church, he must believe and profess what we believe and profess. Don't you go down on me. I'm telling you something this morning. You're going to face something before this thing's over, ladies and gentlemen. You and I that are going to make it, we're going to face up to some situations Amen. Everything out there that goes under the guise of religion, everything that has a glossolalia, and everything that claims miracles isn't God. Amen. I'm going to talk to you about an Antichrist. Many of them, John said, have already gone into this world. A Baptist Antichrist couldn't do much with a Methodist. Amen. The Antichrist that deceives us must be our idea of a true Baptist, a true Methodist, or a true Pentecostal, whichever that the case may be. He has to be that. Now, this is not to say that that's all Antichrist. No, sir. There's many Christians among all of us. I'm just saying that Antichrist has made an inroad into the most spiritual. He made it into the first church. He made it into one that's born at Pentecost. Before John died, he's saying that there's a lot of Antichrist already invaded, already got there. The spirit of deception had already got there. Now, he there agrees whenever he comes in, whatever he comes in, whether it's into this church, a Baptist church, a Methodist church, whatever he comes into, then he there agrees to all their doctrines and appears to be a true Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, as to whatever the case may be. Now, let us not suppose, ladies and gentlemen, that we're immune to this deceptive spirit. It can invade our ranks. It has invaded the Pentecostal world in this darkened hour. It can. It will not invade us under the same profession that it invaded others. I'm going to say something about this in a moment, but I must implant this in your mind. Amen. You're not going around. I remember I was in Arlington, Texas when the Baptists met, and they were split down the middle as to whether the Bible was the total word of God or not. Some of them were saying it contained the word, others saying that this is the word verbally inspired. But somebody had come into the ranks of the Southern Baptist Church and sold a great part of them on the idea that there may be some error in this Bible. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't an Assembly of God preacher that sold them that lie.
Amen. Amen.
No, sir. It is a Southern Baptist. And when he sold him, he was an Antichrist.
Amen.
Don't make any difference how we want to look at it. Amen. When that spirit comes to deceive, then that spirit is Antichrist.
Amen.
Don't sit around looking for somebody to come along with a branding iron, ladies and gentlemen. That awesome spirit has been along the pike and through the ages to capture men's minds, and he'll put a brand on nobody that he hasn't captured before the brand ever gets here.
Amen.
You hear me? He'll never put a brand on one human being that he hasn't captured before the brand gets here. Amen. It must come to us, that spirit, professing everything that we believe. It will come professing. It must come with power to deceive. Not power to deceive others, but power to deceive us. Amen. Ain't no use in going out here and acting like you're performing miracles to people that don't believe in miracles. Amen. You're not going to hook anybody on that kind of phony signs unless the people believe in it. We're a people believe in a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe that. Is that right? We believe that God never changes. And the man, the Antichrist that would deceive us would come, Paul said, John said, with lying signs and wonders. He had come with this kind of a situation. Any spirit of religion will reject a man whose spirit does not conform to their ideas of religion. I have no time for anybody that doesn't believe what I believe about Christ, the Bible, the Holy Ghost, and the things that I've come to believe. And Antichrist can do nothing with us until he can conform to our spirit and our ways. Listen, every deviation from the Bible base in the Pentecostal church, and this is what's frightening, every deviation from the Bible base in the Pentecostal church has come into its ranks by a Pentecostal man. It has come by those that we believe to be a part of us. They talk like we talk. They acted like we act. They profess what we profess, or they would never have got through our doors. They never would have sold us what has come to be among us a lie. Listen, this is usually, when it happens, a man who has truly had a Pentecostal experience, but somehow has lost it in his worldly ambition and his desire for things and other ambition. He has lost that experience. Amen. But though he lost the Spirit, he retained the knowledge of how that Spirit works. This is a great tragedy of the 20th century. Men that walk with God in a path of light and saw how the Holy Ghost works. That's the reason men were there. They saw that to be filled with the Holy Ghost was to walk uprightly, to do right. So men poured a little mold and tried to shuffle everybody into that mold. If they could get you to grow your hair right and wear the kind of clothes they wanted you to wear, then they said you were a Christian. But the inside may be as rotten as hell itself. Amen. Just on the outside, they observed that when people were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. So here comes somebody and teaches people how to do a deceptive spirit. They remove it from the sovereign work of the Holy Ghost and the God of heaven to the volitional use of a human being. That's Antichrist. It is a spirit of deception to make men believe they've received an experience from God when all they've done is mimic what man had to say. This is usually the way. Such men have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But after he's gone, they manipulate their powers in such a way as they appear to still possess that power. Still possess that power. Usually it's turning the attention unto themselves. Listen, usually the glory is going to be raised upon a man. Amen. It's going to be turned upon a man. Such men, they've had it. Now we're having exposed in the rags of Pentecost all over this nation, maybe around the world. You hear me? We're having exposed men that have been whoremongers for years. Amen. But yet they'd stand in the pulpit and manifest the gifts of God. Amen. Could weep and carry on and discern what's wrong with everybody else. Yet they've left the pulpit of God after standing in that holy place and go to bed with somebody that's not their wife. Let me tell you, that's Antichrist. They're trying to tell me today that a sympathy. I know men fall. I know women fall. I know there's mistakes made. But when they do, if it is there and there's repentance, they come. You don't have to track them down. They come to repent. And if they repent, there's immediate forgiveness from the Father. There is a mark left on life for immorality, but there's immediate forgiveness. And there must be a forgiveness of the church itself. But when you discover and dig it out, and it's been going on for years, and they carry on with a manifestation of the Holy Ghost, you're dealing with an Antichrist spirit. You're dealing with a spirit that would destroy everything that is wholesome and everything that's worthwhile. Amen. By their volitional use of these gifts, by the fleshly manifestation of these gifts of God, they've deceived the simple. They've deceived the simple. But let me tell you something. God would have us to know. You know, one of the greatest truths of this Bible is the Trinity of God. Let me tell you something. You make a schizophrenic out of God and you got trouble. Never major apostasy in history has come by tampering with the Godhead. One of the greatest truths is to know that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, amen, are all three equally God, amen. I don't understand all I know about the Godhead, but I do know that the Holy Ghost issues out from the Father and out from the Son. You hear me? The Holy Ghost issues out of the Son. Therefore, the Holy Spirit coming from the Son, a manifestation of that Holy Spirit, is always a manifestation of Christ. Now, you ain't going to deceive me if I know that. And they ain't going to deceive you if you know that. That Holy Spirit issues from Christ. And because it issues from Christ, it is always a manifestation of Christ Himself. If you read these Gospels and you see how that Christ was, He walked this earth. He was the church. He's still the church. I'm not the church. You're not the church. Christ in us is the church. And when God's Spirit manifests Himself through that church, then the world sees Christ. Gotta holler loud to keep you awake. When that manifestation comes out, it's Christ. I read the Gospels, and I see how Christ was. I see those manifestations. Whatever happens in this church, if we have the courage to lay it alongside as to what Christ was, amen. Amen. I see a lot of things they say as the Holy Spirit told me. Amen. But you trace that back into the Bible. It has no roots in this Word. It's no manifestation of Christ. Then it must be rejected thumbs down. It doesn't matter. Amen. The Bible said He's going to come with all lying signs and wonders. He's going to come with all power, the Bible says, to deceive. And because we people, Pentecostal people, are miracle conscious, and so we should be. We believe that Christ is the same, that healing is as much a part of the life of the church today or should be as it was yesterday. The Holy Ghost is a living thing in the church. Christ is alive. We're saved, feel, walk with God. We believe in miracles. And so He comes with His miracles. He comes with His miracles. The Antichrist spirit comes with claims that cannot be substantiated by the Word of God. Oh, brother, I've watched miracle oils. I've watched magic pocketbooks. I've watched horns of plenty. I'm telling you here, there ain't no such a thing in this book. I said, there ain't no such a thing in this book. There's been folks give their hard-earned money onto some kind of a deal. Listen, there's one place that this thing rests. That's in Christ. That Holy Ghost points to Christ. That Holy Ghost points to Jesus, to the Word of God. Amen. It isn't horns of plenty. It isn't magic oil. It isn't a certain shape of a prayer cloth. I believe that those things in the Bible you find in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul sent out claws taken from his body, and they went as the same thing as his hands on them. Amen. We used to send out, people would write in. Then we got very, very cautious about how we wrote and sent them. One lady wrote me, she had accidentally left it in her clothes and washed it. Wanted to know she is going to be cursed. I fell down and wept. I said, my God, they made a fetish out of it. Let me tell you something, folks. The church must be careful. Only Christ is to be looked to. I said, only Christ. Not a preacher, not a prayer call, not a bottle of oil. Christ Jesus the Lord. Whatever turns that attention away from Him is an antichrist. Do you hear me? Whatever comes to take His place is an antichrist. I can tell you this kingdom now thing that men are saying, we're going to bring in the kingdom, then we're going to let God come and rule. This Bible says Christ is going to put down every enemy when he comes back with his church. He's going to destroy him with the brightness of his coming. No, no, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to put the devil out of business. He's going to put the devil out of business. And any man, any church, any people that say they're going to have took the place of Christ, they're antichrist. There's one thing this book is jealous over, it's Christ. I said there's one thing it's jealous over, it's Jesus. Amen. Oh, listen. This manifestation must be Christ. He seems to possess every quality of a baptized believer, and is thus he works with all deceivableness. Amen. When he comes, he seems to possess it all. Amen. He projects himself. He comes. No other antichrist could appeal to the Pentecostal church. No other antichrist. But that one that does possess all, seemingly, all the qualities and all the outward manifestations, it all must be there. Amen. Listen, you see how, listen to me, you see how that many antichrists touch every class of people on the face of this earth. Do you see why that every government on this earth is in trouble? Do you see why every circle of religion is in trouble? I'm telling you the problem. John said many antichrists have gone out in this great land of ours. It's not the land I grew up in. Ladies and gentlemen, it can throw the Bible out and endorse pornography. We have a reprobate mind at loose in this great land of ours. Amen. There's a reprobate mind that would protect the criminal. A man up in New York had a little shop trying to make an honest living. The thieves broke into it 11 times in 1 week. Amen. He put up a trap and a fella broke through his roof and electrocuted himself trying to rob the store. Now they want to lock the man up that owned the store. Man up in Colorado woke up one night and a man coming down his hall with a baseball bat. The father didn't know that he'd killed both of his children with that bat already. Now making his way to his bedroom, he got his pistol, shot him and killed him, and they had a long trial. Amen. They said that you had to use equal weapons. In other words, they're saying you have to tell him, hold it in the hall while I get me a baseball bat. And they're saying you didn't know that he had already killed your children. How do you know what he's there for? Well, I can tell you one thing. You come breaking down my hall at 2 o'clock in the morning, I ain't going to ask you what you're there for. Amen. Many antichrists and have invaded every circle. No wonder the whole earth, they're in every government, every circle of religion, and in many systems of religion, it's in complete control. Amen. Complete control. Total control. Finds its way into the assemblies of the most spiritual people on this earth. Yes, sir. Not plague. I can tell you, we evaded him. We never let him touch us. We walk with God. We were ridiculed, pushed on the other side of the tracks. We were hated by religion and otherwise. I'm talking about the Pentecostal church, just like that early church. It was hated by everything along the pike. Until that time that they come in us, that antichrist spirit that talked in tongues like we talked and began to tell us we didn't have to live like we was living, that God didn't really care how you lived, it was just being full of the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues and working some kind of a miracle. And so the whole thing was repeated. It was in Corinth. There become a quest for Pentecostal charismatics instead of Christian character. And when that happened, everything became lost. I said everything became lost. God has never in history been searching for Pentecostal charismatics. He has all the gifts. Paul said they're resident in the Holy Ghost. Every last one of them, that's God. All the gifts of God, God's got them all. He's never been in a quest for gifts. He's been in quest for Christian character that they can flow through and make Christ real. Finally, listen. How are you and I to locate him? How are we to recognize him? How are we to know? First of all, we must keep close to Jesus ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We must keep close to Jesus. Oh, I can't say that too much, folks. Listen, there's no way into that realm of things except through Christ. There's no way to be kept except but Christ. We must learn. We must keep close to Christ all the time. Oh, we must keep close to Christ. We must not allow ourselves to be attracted by human forces. Oh, God, if he'd help me to say that in a language. I saw people deceived by personalities. Amen. This coming along, God spoke. God said. I'm telling you, when he said God spoke, then that needs to be laid alongside this book. Amen. If he said something that doesn't fit in this book, then we better oust it. We better get rid of it. Amen. When we begin to leave the base of this Bible, we are lost. We must not be attracted by human forces, human psychology, humanism. I said here last Sunday morning, we've allowed psychology to enter our pulpit. As a result, we've made sin a human weakness instead of a transgression of the law of God. That's the greatest tragedy that happened to the church. Now, you don't have to do anything but read the Old Testament story and find out how much God sympathizes with people and their immorality. None, brother. He had them stoned to death. A man said to me, that's the Old Testament. And I said to him, the same God of the Old Testament is a God of the New. Don't you make that one a criminal in the Old Testament. Amen. See, we've allowed and been attracted by human forces instead of Christ. Whatever Christ says, that's all that matters. I said, that's all that matters. Whether the government agrees with us or not, it doesn't matter. Whether the organization agrees, it doesn't matter. Whether the bishop agrees, it doesn't matter. If Christ agrees with us, you can't look back through history without seeing how much we're affected by history itself. And the problem is, men are always changing how they read history. And so interpretive history is one of the great fallacies of our time. I look at the Church of God, the Assemblies of God. They're the two largest of the Pentecostal organizations. The Church of God with this Episcopal government tells me they mainly rooted from the Methodist Church. They were the old Holiness Church that sprung up out of the Methodists. The Assemblies of God with their congregational government tells you their background is Baptist. We're influenced by history. It's no leadership of the Holy Ghost that one has this and one has that as far as government. It's just where they come from. I said it's where they come from. And you can see the attraction of human forces that has took a hold of it. But we must not be attracted by human forces. We must walk close to Christ. And listen, we must let the drawing power of the cross keep us uplifted above the curse of this world. Church, listen to me. We must allow the drawing power of that cross to keep us lifted above the curse of this world. Read the Bible. Spend much time in prayer. Let nothing take our attention but Jesus. Did you hear me? I said, read the Bible. Spend a lot of time in prayer. Don't let anything catch your attention but Jesus. Listen, if we'll do that, if we will, by employing this in our thoughts, we'll be given discernment, and God will help us to determine what is false and what is true. I'm glad to tell you that we're not a victim of circumstances. We only become that when we walk out of the circle of Christ. when we allow personalities to affect us, no matter how big, how little, we're all a part of the body of Christ. Man never gets big enough to circumvent the Word of God, and God's sympathy never overrides that Word, ladies and gentlemen. I must spend time in the Word of God. I must spend time in prayer. I must wait before God. Then I'll discern what's right, what's wrong, what's false, what's true, what's God, what's the devil. This many antichrists. As God began to talk to me, and I saw how this deceptive spirit has come. Man, all the manifestations, knew exactly how he worked. And with that, began to lead us into paths that weren't altogether the Word of God. Every era that's deceived is run so parallel to truth that only the discriminating are able to tell. Amen. That's the reason I'm telling you, church. Stay close to Jesus. Keep your family close to Jesus. If you don't have an altar in that home, put an altar in that home. I said, put an altar in that home. Husband, read to your wife. Pray with your children. Let them hear you call their name to God. Stay close to Christ. Stay close to Christ. Read this book privately. Read it to your family. Pray over your children. Walk with God on the job, off the job, everywhere. Amen. Stay close. There's many antichrists, and every human on the face of this earth is being affected by it. I don't care what church it is. It's there, ladies and gentlemen. And it's there to destroy. It's there to destroy. Church, you and this television audience, you must be born of God. You must be filled with God. And you must learn to walk with God. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. There must be a boldness about us that it doesn't matter who says it. I have every right to question what's being said. I have every right. It doesn't matter how big the ministry, how many people hear it, how much money comes in. I have every right to test what's said to me by this book. And if it don't fit this book, I have every right to reject it. On those grounds alone, I want you to bow your head. Our Father, I thank Thee this morning. I thank Thee this morning for this people and this television audience, these that are here immediately. In the jail, Lord, they're listening to me. The nursing home, the hospital. In homes, every walk of life they've heard, Holy Spirit, touch that life. Touch that life. Let us examine ourselves as to whether or not we be in the faith. If Christ is not in us, we are reprobate, though we may be the most religious people in the community. If Christ isn't there, we're lost. Father, speak in this audience all across this triplex. Talk to those that listen. Make them realize the need of being in a real Bible church where without fear or favor, the word of the Lord is proclaimed. God save every one of them in the name of Jesus. This television audience, this immediate audience, if you don't know Christ, then you better know Him. And if you've been born of God, then you best be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, then you must, under God, learn the leadership of that blessed Spirit. There's many antichrist. There's a spirit of deception. And your home, your family, your business is not immune. Your church. Turn to Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch everyone in this television audience. Don't let a man or woman go to hell that hurt us tonight. Don't let him be deceived. Good night.
Night, I couldn't make that out. You know, the Bible says you use plainness of speech. Anybody that talks a lot of deep mumbo jumbo, sounding real spiritual, get as far away from them as the east is from the west, because that deep mumbo jumbo stuff will not get you in. It's just silly, and people are impressed by a lot of empty-headed jargon for some reason. But hey. In these last days, you need to have somebody just tell you like it is. Like I used to tell you in the world, tell it like your TIT is, for you to make it and not be deceived, because it's a lot of voices up there. One word he used in that message was transubstantiation. Transubstantiation is the belief by the Roman Catholic Church that the bread and the wine in the communion is literally the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's not it's not a symbol. It's really literally changed through transubstantiation, which is a change of substance. The priest has the power to use a conjuration and a magic spell to put Jesus in that little wafer and put him in the cup of wine. They believe that. So that's why they keep a little tabernacle up front on the altar in the Roman Catholic Church, because Jesus is living in that little tabernacle for real, literally. Which you know is crazy. That's like a little Ken doll on a cross, and you think that's Jesus walking around with a little Ken doll hanging on a crucifix. And then if you drop it or something, people almost go into heart attacks and strokes because you drop Jesus. You know, the religious mind is really a mind that's been driven insane, and you got to guard yourself against becoming religion and appending some kind of a definition of purpose to something that God cares nothing about. You got to really examine yourself to see if you care about something that God cares nothing about. Because if God cares nothing about it, according to his word, it's a religious belief that you made up in your own mind that has to be eliminated. You got to guard yourself against religion, because it can get into anybody's mind and make you believe that something is important that's really not. So just guard your heart. The Bible says with what? All diligence, because out of it the heart flows the issues of your life. That's real. All right, let's get into the word for today. We're talking about Ahab and the metrosexual man. We're going to intersperse a couple of short videos in here. I think one is 3 minutes and one is like 10 minutes to show you a metrosexual man and what it looks like. And then we're going to go through a process as we go through the message to show you how this thing has really undermined the church and how it has to be basically cast out of the church, and then the damage done by it must be eradicated from the souls. You don't know how much damage has been done to your soul right now by this spirit. You might sit here and you might mentally ascend to having it and knowing God, but interactions with this spirit will undermine your real definition of God and what you believe God to be. Perception is reality. Did you know that? Whatever you perceive something to be, that becomes your reality. So if you perceive God to be something that he's not, then your identification with what you think is God is really idolatry, because you set up an image of God that's not God, and you worship that thing. So I'm here to deconstruct everything that's an idol so you get to the true and living God. Let's get into this for today. Ahab and the metrosexual man. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're dealing with Ahab, nasty Ahab, and the metrosexual man. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. The word fornicator, there's the word pornia, which is the word we get pornography from. People who engage in illicit sexual activity shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Nor idolaters. If you place anything above God, the first commandment is, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. Any idol, whether it be external or internal, will block you from God. And idols can come in all kinds of shapes, forms, and fashions. Every idol must be eradicated from your heart. The worst one is self-idolatry, where you place your opinions above God's word. You got to be careful not to be an idolater. Nor adulterers, cheating on your spouse. Nor effeminate. Just, you don't have to be a homosexual, just be effeminate. Just act like a girl. Somebody better tell Bruce Jenner. You don't make it in as an effeminate man. That word in the Greek is malakos. It actually means soft, prissy, tender. Don't be a malakos or an effeminate man. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, sodomites. You abuse yourself with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That word for abusers of themselves with mankind is arsenokoitos. You know, coitus is actually sex. So arsenokoitos is an abuser of sex. So you can actually be abused as the woman if a man sodomizes you. If a man places his penis in your mouth, he's abusing you. That's a form of depreciation and depravity that's abusing you. He says, don't abuse yourself with mankind. Don't let mankind abuse you. Arsenokoitos, having coitus in a perverted, abusive fashion, makes you unable to inherit the kingdom of God. Then he says, and such were some of you. You used to be like this, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So you see now, you came from this, you came out from this. God washed you with his word. He regenerated you and changed you through sanctifying you from what you came from. See, to be washed from what you were, you got to be sanctified from what you were. You can't be a participant in your old life and get sanctified. You can't put clean dishes with dirty dishes. You don't put clean clothes with dirty clothes. They're going to take on the stench of the dirty clothes. So he says, sanctify yourself from the unclean. Come out from amongst them, he says. Touch not the unclean thing. And under those conditions, God says, I'll receive you unto myself and be unto you a God, and you'll be my people. God does not deal with unsanctified folks. You know, folks used to talk about the sanctified church. The only sanctified church that exists is the church. The church is sanctified. It's the called out ones who came out from amongst the sinners. You got to be sanctified to be washed. And the washing makes you sanctified. So you, as an act of your will, separate from the unclean, and God washes. When you stop being a person that wants to be sanctified, you'll go immediately back to the unclean. We've had people leave here and go back to Jehovah's Witnesses. Leave here and become a Hebrew Israelite. I'm talking about right now, today, real time. They looked at this and went right to a delusion led by the spirit of Antichrist. What was happening? Something in them did not want Christ. Something in them rebelled against Christ. I'd rather go to a false religion and pretend I'm worshiping God than to be sanctified and cleansed in order to worship God. I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to be Frank Sinatra and do it my way. Since I did it my way, that's the song. You got to come according to the book or you don't come at all. See, when you don't take heed to the dictates of God, you are now impugning your salvation. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God unless you come by way of sanctification. In order to inherit the kingdom of God, he says, you are washed, one, sanctified, two. Because you've been sanctified, you're justified. Unsanctified folks are not justified. Justified means just as if you'd never sinned. See, God can expunge your sin to the degree you'll be just like you never sinned at all. And your mind will reflect that. You know, you can be delivered from guilt, shame, and condemnation to the degree that you don't have any guilt, any shame, and no condemnation in you, because there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law that governs you now is the law of the Spirit, and it expunges all guilt, all shame, all condemnation. I don't feel any kind of way about God that's detrimental to me, because I know in Christ I'm accepted in the beloved. God has no record of my sin in Christ. Outside of Christ, the record is full of my sins. Inside of Christ, it's a blank slate. It's all about what you want. Now, you don't want to mentally ascend to being in Christ and you're really outside of Christ. That's where people make a mistake. You see, when you come amongst the saints, if you come to support or be with or look like, act like, say the same thing as, no data, try to look up to the standards of what people expect you to be like, you're just mentally ascending. You don't know Christ. Your integrity is defined by what you do alone, not around people. Did you know that? You have no integrity if you change when you're alone. When you're at home and you sneak out of the bed at 3 a.m., to sneak downstairs on the computer to look at pornography and your wife is asleep, that's the real you.
That's right.
You can look like anything amongst folk that are saved, but your dirty soul will always draw you right back to what you really are.
Right.
If you're really a homosexual, you'll hang around that spirit. If you're a lesbian, you'll hang around lesbian spirits. Believe me, in any church environment, all these spirits are always in play.
That's right.
And you will gravitate towards your kind. It's an organic fact that every bird of a certain feather will flock together. Birds of a feather flock together. Organic life will always find organic life of the same type. That's the safety valve built into God's kingdom. That's the key to his salvation. There won't be any mistakes made. Goats don't thrive amongst sheep. Tares and wheat don't mix. Organic substance in life. The DNA is going to identify the saints, not outward appearance. That's why people are going to come and say, Lord, have I not? You don't have the inner program. You don't have the identity of organic life in you. You thought you were, or you tried to make yourself be, and you tried to act like everybody else, but you've never been born again. It's going to be so many rude awakenings. When you got organic life type, there's no effort, because I'm organically born again. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I'm going to show you in a minute how the fact that a person is trying to look like something to somebody else is impugning their whole salvation experience. They're trying to live up to or down to somebody else's expectations, and it's going to destroy them at the end, because they never came to Christ to be identified with Christ. I'm looking at other folks and doing what they expect me to do. See, you don't have to have any energy behind being a Christian, because you are one if you really are one. But see, there are ways to negate, and there are ways to look like you are what you're not. You can negate your salvation. If you got into it, you can still negate it. You can go down the road a piece and negate it, or you can try to come in and emulate it. So you negate or emulate based on not being the life type. After a while, if you don't have the real life in you, after a little while, the Bible says, because of persecution that comes upon you because of the word, you're going to do what? You're going to leave it alone. You're going to draw back, because, hey, I didn't expect it to be like this, because the life type in me wasn't born again. And when God began to really deal with me, I didn't expect all of this. The other option is to stay around and emulate everybody else. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, sister. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, everybody got their hands raised. I raise mine. Everybody talking in tongues, so I start jibber-jabbering off in some kind of crazy some another. And you just look like some kind of a nut. You look like a left foot and a right shoe. And you never do have it, and you know you don't have it, but you keep pressing on trying to emulate. You know the energy you got to exert inside of yourself, and you are not the organic life you're trying to emulate? You know how much you got to try to be what you're not? I'm trying to pretend I'm a sprinter at the Olympics in the 200-meter dash. That's the one that Usain Bolt is looking back at laughing. Doing it, you know, kicking sidewise, sidestepping down to the finish line. While you down there trying to hold up, Usain. Usain, hold up, bruh. You don't have it. You're not a sprinter. There's no effort to a real sprinter because the sprinter got the deal inside of him for real. It's alive in him or her. So when you're trying, all that thinking you got to do, all that you reading the Bible, just trying to pack in more stuff to know so you can say the right stuff. But buddy, when you got the real spirit in you, the Bible is easily entreated to you. As a matter of fact, God reveals the Bible to you in a real living way whereby he tells you what you need that's germane to forward you into what he called you to do. You don't have this effort and energy to try to live up to know something or be something or look like or act like. And you'll see a person conform to what Christ wants them to be all by themselves. They'll just conform to it. You never tell a woman how to dress. She'll just conform to it. It'll just happen. See, this thing is organic from start to finish. That's why we wrote the book, The Organic Gospel. It comes in seed form. It germinates, it grows, and it produces fruit after itself. Every seed produces after its own kind. If there's no replication or duplication of your salvation, you better find out if you're saved. Because somebody's going to be saved through you if you're saved. It's 7.4 billion people on this planet. And you've been down here a lifetime of salvation and nobody got saved from your work and your words and what you did and how you lived. Nobody was impacted by the Christ in you. You know why that happened? Christ is not in you. You mentally ascended to something you're not organically able to do. You don't have the life, so you don't produce after your own kind. That should make people just frenetic inside, like, hey, I don't need to run to try to look like and act like. I need to get back to Christ and get the real experience. I got to go back to the drawing board and get the seed imparted to me to germinate this life so it can begin to reproduce as it grows out of me. Most people in church are in heavy deception. Heavy deception. Because they've mentally ascended to that which they are not. And they depend on organizational membership. The denomination. Being identified with some dictates coming down from headquarters. Man, do you know him? Have you been made into the image of Christ? Remember, God made man in his own image. He relates to the image he made from day one. If the image is not born out in you, God won't relate to you. It's got to be an organic rebirthing, an organic gestation, and an organic manifestation of the sons of God. So you see now, these folk now, he says, none of these folks here will inherit the kingdom of God. And you used to be one of those folk if you've been born again. Such were some of you, washed, now sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Ghost of God, regenerated by the Holy Ghost. So in Jesus Christ, in his name, under his authority, you have been what? You've been washed, sanctified, and justified, and you have been made over by the Spirit of God. So it's the Spirit of God that gets a hold of you in Christ. If you stay in Christ, the same Spirit that was in him will begin to regenerate you and change you over. Your thoughts will change. Your personality will change. Everything that you thought was you will be eradicated and replaced by what Christ intended you to be from day one. See, everybody down here is searching for what they're down here for. They just don't know it. But they don't identify with Christ, so they become something else. The devil's soulish creation, I called it in one message. It's called the devil's soulish creation. Outside of Christ, you'll have an identity, but it won't be from God. You want to find out what God wants you to be in Christ. So to do that, you got to get back in Christ. So you see now, these folks don't inherit the kingdom of God. We're going to zero in on one particular kind of person today, the effeminate. The effeminate. That word is malakos, and another translation for that word is a catamite. A catamite. What is a catamite? A catamite, in its modern usage, the term catamite refers to a boy as the passive or receiving partner in anal intercourse with a man. So a catamite is a young kept boy that is the receiver of anal intercourse. What Eddie Long was keeping. He had a bunch of catamites. Young boys were brought up in Greece and Rome as catamites. They were the ones that serviced the wealthy guys, kept as young teenage boys to be sodomized. Now imagine a boy. His first sexual experience was being sodomized. And he'd been kept for 5, 10, 15 years only sodomized. That's heavy, man. That does a lot of damage to a boy's mind. So it's used for anal intercourse with a man. In its ancient usage, a catamite, the Latin word is catamitus, was a pubescent boy who was the intimate companion of a young man in ancient Greece and Rome, usually in a pederastic relationship. A pederastic relationship is a homosexual and anal sex relationship. So this is a boy brought up in a pederastic relationship, a homosexual, anal sex-based relationship. Now, this is what he's saying about an effeminate man now. An effeminate man who has been sodomized over and over again till he takes on the character traits of a woman because he's been penetrated. Pederastic is a penetrated man. He's been penetrated, and it makes him effeminate. He loses all of his oomph, all of his kick, all of his zeal, all of his manhood has been siphoned off of him. You can always tell these guys, because these kind of guys in church, they don't have any power. They just walk around kind of docile and quoting Bible. But when it's time to man up and do something, let me check with my wife. No, man, hold it, man. Hold it, man. It's time for men to go out to war. What you doing? He's checking with who he identifies with because he's a feminine. He has to check with a woman all the time. So this thing here is real. I'm going to show you how it's invaded the church and undermined a lot of folk, especially a lot of women. Women have been programmed to identify with this kind of a guy. As a matter of fact, they won't interact with anybody but this kind of a guy. That's how bad it is. Pederastic, a relationship, homosexual, and anal sex driven. He's soft, and the other word is effeminate for a catamite, which is the translation here in your King James Bible. I don't know what the NIV says. What, does the NIV say something else? Homosexual what? Offenders. Homosexual offenders for effeminate. What does it say for abusers of themselves with mankind? Male prostitutes. That's another good word for a catamite. Because he's being penetrated. He's used for sex. Now this might sound like a small thing, but let me develop this. And if you can hold your lunch down through it, you will see the revelation of it. Soft and effeminate. He's also tender. Sensitive. You ever talk to a sensitive guy that you're a woman talking to the guy and he's getting offended by everything you're saying because he's so sensitive? He's just so emotional and so weak. And you're wondering, man, I'm just trying to tell you this. Listen, he's just mad and angry and slamming the door, running out the house, driving off fast. That's an effeminate guy. And some people live with this stuff all day long. He'll beat you up because he's effeminate. Cursing at you, that's girl cursing at you. Women have been programmed to try to deal with effeminate guys, and that's become their normal. Worst thing they do is they try to get a Bible and try to preach at you and try to be deep from the word and down the computer watching pornography. You know, he's effeminate. Because he's worshiping the female form because that's what's idolized inside of him. There's a statue of a woman inside of him, so he watches pornography to feed that statue. That's an effeminate guy. He's a girl on the inside trying to act like a man on the outside. A lot of times they bulk up and get real big lifting weights. And just a girl walking around with a bunch of muscles. Trying to prove I'm a man and looking muscular to let you know you're dealing with a man. And all that girl just bathing his soul. And a woman that's out there seducing folk and picking him out a mile away. Because they're going to know you're a lust-filled idolater of my female form. Because that statue in you, that's what she reads. She reads the little statue sitting in you full of lust. And every time you see a woman, you're flinching inside. Because that's what's making you effeminate. You worship the female form, which transfers to you effeminacy. The Bible says you are exactly what you worship. The Bible says they make statues of wood and stone. They that worship them are like unto them. The statues don't have eyes to see nor ears to hear. They're made of wood and stone. You'll become just like that statue. You can't see nor can you hear as an idolater. Soft, effeminate, and tender. The term catamite derives from the Greek term for Ganymede catamus. Ganymede catamus. That's where you get the word catamite from, translated here effeminate. It's referring back to Ganymede catamus. Who was he? He was the one referred to in the myth of Zeus and Ganymede, a young boy that he fell in love with and kept for sexual purposes. So the myth is that the god Zeus, who you know is a fallen angel, saw a very handsome, really, really pretty young boy that Zeus, the fallen angel, wanted. He got the boy and used him as a sodomizing partner. And that's the myth. And that's where catamite comes from Ganymede catamus. And Zeus, a fallen angel, wanted the boy. It means he's soft to the touch. That's what it's all about. He's this weak, effeminate, soft to the touch man, sensitive, emotional, easily irritated, and always argumentative because of his sensitivities inside. This is an effeminate man. In church, he tries to be a Bible thumper. He tries to be a know-it-all, a sage. But one thing he cannot do. That kind of a guy can never walk with the other brothers. Can't do it. He can't get with the other men. He can't buy into a band of brothers going out to fight a war against an enemy. He's always somewhere off by himself because he don't have the masculine nature of a brotherhood going to war. It's like a football team. A football team is a band of brothers that have to congeal together to fight a common enemy. The Marines are like this. See, this thing is real. Catamites, effeminate men, can never walk with the brothers. They identify with women, so they look to women to approve of them, sign off on them. You okay if I say you're okay? That's why they don't deal with men, because they look for the approval of women. I'm going to show you why that has to be in just a minute. If you don't come to God to get your identity as a man, you'll look for the approval of women. That's why you were standing up in the club, over in the corner with a drink, waiting for the women to approve of you. The car you bought was for the women. The way you got that hair slicked to the left and right with a part on one side with waves. My friend D used to say, I got waves for the babes and curls for the girls. Head on out to the club. Had to put his stocking cap on. Now, Deke had good hair, though. He had natural waves. The rest of us had to put those, you know, stocking caps on and get your mama's stockings, steal them, cut off the legs, tie a knot in them, and put on your head all night till you get waves for the babes, curls for the girls. That's the only way these kind of guys think. What will the women say about my car? What will the women say about my clothes? What will the women say about what I'm doing and what I'm saying and what I have? I'm looking for the approval of a woman. They live like that. They overcompensate in every arena of life. In church, this is how it plays itself out. If you're looking for the approval of a woman, you can never come up under the authority of the correct instruction of a male patriarchal church environment because you're waiting for the woman to approve of you. So what they'll do is they'll sit around church authority, and if the woman says it's okay, they go with it. She don't like it, you won't go with it. See how you can put no weight on that kind of a guy? Because he's always waiting for the approval or the disapproval of a woman. She got to check off on it, say it's okay for him. So how do they approach authoritative leadership in the church? Here's how they usually deal with authority. If you govern the church, if you pastor the church, if you're elder in the church, what they'll do is they'll come in and say, I follow the Lord. Don't need no leadership. You know what that is? Because they can't matriculate into the environment in command structure. They're trying to go around God's church and deal with God when you can't do that. God set up the church. Don't use the false church as your measuring stick and the litmus test for God's authority. You got to let the Holy Spirit lead you to the real and conform to what God set up and established. The real leadership are servants that will wash your feet anyway. So there's nowhere to be damaged and hurt by it. The false is trying to lord over you, lord over God's inheritance and take from you. So therefore, you can always identify the real because of the servanthood. Because they're seeking to serve you, to perfect you, for you to do the work of the ministry. So there's never this thing where you're caught up in paying homage to anybody. You're just going through the proper, systematic, designed, formatted instructions necessary to make you into what you need to be. The Bible says nobody is crowned unless he plays and he wars lawfully. You got to play by the rules. But when you try to go around the rules, you're going to find yourself in depravity and destruction. You're going to be lost. So that thing is always trying to govern itself according to what a female is saying about them, approving or disapproving of them. And it's instinctively done on the inside of them. Where did it come from? Raised by their mama. Or the daddy was a distant figure that they had no interaction with. All they know is matriarchal control, matriarchal domination, and matriarchal approval. So a man is foreign to a man. A man is foreign to a man. So I'm looking for an emotional something. I'm looking to belong to something I can, you know, interact with like a woman. I'm trying to get under the man like a woman. I'm trying to be an armor bearer. I'm trying to measure up. But real leadership doesn't need approval or anybody signing off on them. Real leadership don't need you to affirm and validate them. You can get in this thing and be a man, but at the same time be able to operate with other brethren on equal footing based on what God called you to do. So what do you need? You need identity in Christ. You need to know who you are in Christ, and you need to know what God called you to do. Because nobody else is worrying about you. If you're a man, bro, what you called to do? I don't need nobody hanging around me. I'm doing what I'm called to do. I'm pressing on toward the mark, toward a higher calling in Christ. You need to find out what your identity is and get on with it. That thing right there brings calamity into churches because it's looking for female approval. Worst case scenario, it's a catamite. It's really a latent homosexual in training. The catamite is a stop on your way to becoming a homosexual. You're being sodomized. Remember, a catamite has been penetrated by a man. So here you are, sodomized already and castrated, and you're emotionally and feminine inside on your way to trying to get up under a man to be identified with. Preachers who are catamites are destroying guys. Because they don't require you to step up to the plate and get an identity on your own. They put you under them and tell you, I'm your covering. A man's covering? What does he want to cover you for? To bend you over the desk in the office to sodomize you. He's spiritually sodomizing you, coming through your soul, not your spirit. A lawful entry into anybody's heart, whether you be male or female, is through your spirit. Deep calleth unto deep. They come through your soul and emotions. they got a penetration of your persona that's illegal. Unlawful entry into your body, into your inner man, through your soul and not your spirit. But at that point, they sodomized you. You being spiritually sodomized. Remember, as a spirit, you got no gender. So whether you be male or female, you can be sodomized from a pulpit. It's happening all over this country. And I'm going to show you today how this thing is taking on a whole new form. And I'm going to show you how God has a fifth column to defeat it in the church. God already got an army in place to destroy it, and they don't even know it. Or as Future says, you don't even know it. God's got an embedded fifth column already set up to destroy this thing. So you see now, these are soft, effeminate men. Look at what Jesus said about it in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus addressed this. Did you know that? Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Got to be praying by way of live streaming here. I'm picking up this witchcraft spirit. You know, I can feel it, man, because it makes me dizzy when it's operating. So just make sure you stay in intercession, because these things don't like these kind of messages now. Because we're battling that Jezebel spirit with everything we've got. And it's a warlord now. It's a big boy. But it's got to come down. So the intercession of the saints. I don't just do this. We got an army of people that do this. Not me by myself. I might be up here talking, but we need everybody, intercessors and power prayers, to be on their post as we take on the devil. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So he says, I'm coming. He says, tell John this. The blinds can see. The lame can walk. The lepers are healed. The dead are raised. The deaf can hear. And the poor people have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be what? Offended in me, Jesus Christ. You're blessed if God doesn't offend you. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Who is he talking about? Catamites, effeminate guys. You came to me looking for a catamite, an effeminate guy? A weak link, a tenderoni? What you come out to see when you dealt with John and me? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are where? They're over here at Creflo's house in the mansion. They're at Kenneth Copeland's conclave in Texas. Soft guys rape and pillage the church and build mansions. Joel Osteen in a $10 million mansion with soft clothes on, slippers, and a smoking jacket. That's what he's talking about. Raped and pillaged and sodomized by a catamite that now has this big conclave he has for himself in soft raiment. Says they're in king's houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now you know he's referring back to what? Malachi 3:1. I'm sending my messenger before your face, preparing my way. John the Baptist is preparing the way for Jesus.